to Be the Evidence podcast with Susan Grace and Abu Mass.
So, new things are brewing.
You've been in the air all day.
I have been.
Yeah. Do you feel like there's a lot of earth stuff going on in the astrology? Do you feel weird up in the air? Like, get me to the ground, get me to the ground, get me to the ground.
I felt so unsettled flying today. So I left North Carolina and then had a layover in Arizona and then finally got to California. And when I was coming into Arizona, I saw those huge mountains like coming up and they're dark brown. And I was like, I just need to be there. Like, I don't even need to go to California at this point. Just like plop me right down in the midst of those mountains that are just out there in the sweltering heat, but like just the soil and the earth and madre like coated over me. Yeah.
You want to be able to put your hands on something solid, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I there's something about being around mountains, from my experience at least, is that when you're around mountains, you feel like you're being guarded.
Uh-huh.
Right? True. Like the mountains are holding space for you. Like, it's okay. You take a deep breath. I got you.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that we need entire mountains to feel safe.
And I think all the mountain ranges have their own particular energies. You know, like the mountains that I live in North Carolina, those are extremely lush. And so it's very much like this feminine energy of like, oh, let me hold you, sweet child. I will cover you with my velvet, right? And I will protect you in that manner. And then the mountains I just saw in Arizona are so arid and dry that are like, we'll protect you, but like, you got to leave your shit. You can't show up with it. Like, you got to come without all the emotional stuff. And then now I'm in the mountains in California and it's much more like a little bit more hard edged, you know, like.
Yeah. That's how everything feels to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything feels like stand up. Hey, stand up.
Yep.
And it's like, I don't want to. I'm a little bit scared.
You gotta do it anyway.
Being pushed to stand up anyway, being pushed to walk forward anyway. I mean, we're still in 5 retrogrades. We can't see everything. We can move Mars direct and we can think Mercury's direct. We have boundaries, Jupiter direct, and we're open to receiving Venus direct. But we can't decide. Can't make a decision. Can't see it all.
I hate that place. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Like, I'm really, okay, if I can take action, right, then sure as shit, I should be able to, like, consciously come up with what are the actions that I'm taking and where is it leading me to, because then I have solid ground. I don't like being in this limbo place at all of like, oh, well, you're being led to something that you've never experienced before, that you have to trust, that you have to be willing to receive the guidance from earth, from spirit on, and you're just not going to know all the details, but you're really going to be pushed to be taking action towards something that is completely ambiguous.
Ambiguous and new, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Uranus and Taurus is having us create new things that we've never seen before. And it's retrograde. So we feel like insecure, like, what the hell are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And Neptune's retrograde in Pisces. I've been saying this kind of feels like God's out playing poker somewhere. And we're like, do you mind? We need some help. Okay.
Would you like to come back, please?
You busy?
Yeah.
You too busy, huh?
Right.
and really, I've been saying this for a while, and I think it really applies now, that if you're doing what's already been done, including for yourself, if you're just repeating what you always do out of repetition, if you're not thinking new, if you're not creating something new, if it's already been done, it's already dead. You're spinning your wheels where you shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having to move forward into an unfolding unknown, but not knowing where it's going to land. And it's like, I feel like the energy, what if it's wrong? What if I don't have this exactly right? I feel like the energy is going, yeah, what if? And it's like, you asshole.
It's so true. This morning I had that very moment. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do all of these things really well. Like, I don't know that I'm going to be able to balance all of these plates. Like, I keep, you know, those people that have those little poles and they turn them around and the plates start swirling around and somehow they magically all keep them up there without flinging them into the walls and into the audience. And like, I am at that place of like, I don't know that I can do that. I think that all of the plates are going to end up smashed on the ground. And I don't even know how the hell to like stand up and even begin to do those tactics at all. Mm-hmm. I may be standing up, but I don't know what to do.
Right. And so Saturn and Pluto are still retrograde in Capricorn. They're going to go direct during September. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be like, stand up, make some decisions. Let's go. You're an adult. It's going to get serious. Mm-hmm. But right now we can't see it all, but we're still being asked to move forward. So we're being asked to move forward. And then it's going to be a little bit further ahead when we know if we were right. And if we weren't right, we're going to have to not freak out and throw a fit like a toddler. And we're going to have to adjust. Just adjust. I mean, this is real, like, dense kind of energy that wants you to stand up, honey. Mm-hmm. You're not a kid.
Yep. Stand up. And I think that piece about believing in yourself or honoring the fact that you may be being called to something that is brand new, that's not been seen before. And that because it's not been seen before and because you're doing something that's could be questioned because it's not been done, that you are required to have even more like faith and compassion and self-reliance and self-authority than you previously have had to have.
Right. And you have to do it anyway. And I'm not talking about waiting until you're perfect. I'm talking about waiting until you have permission. You don't wait until it's perfect. You don't wait for permission. You don't get anybody's permission. It's up to you and you.
Right.
And it's not, we are past the point of waiting. We're out of that window. It's not wait time. You need to move. Move now. If you are on the brink of creating something new, including like a new relationship or even switching jobs laterally, mm-hmm. or creating a new home. If you're creating something new that's solid, that's going to change your reality, you better start moving. You better start moving, even if you don't have all the answers right now. And you don't. I promise nobody has the answers right now. Anybody who acts like, oh yeah, I know exactly what's going to go down. You don't. No, you don't.
Mm-hmm. Nobody knows. And I think it doesn't even have to be like this big gigantic sweep of like, okay, I'm going to create a new job or I'm going to create a new relationship, right? It could just be like, I am not going to choose the same patterns that I once chose and I'm going to decide something differently for myself. I am going to, instead of like being attacked and immediately feel like I need to make the other person small, I'm going to look at them and be like, well, that's really interesting that you have that belief, and moving on, like challenging yourself to have a new response. Like it, sometimes I think we get so wrapped up in like, oh, it's got to be so big, right? But it can also be so micro in your day to day of like, oh, I'm going to breathe differently. I'm going to start with deep breaths in the morning before I like spaz out about the morning commute.
Yeah, it's about, we were talking in the last podcast about choosing not to escape anymore in whatever way you do that. And so whenever you choose not to escape anymore, reality can feel very, and so you can feel insecure within reality. Like, I don't know what's going to happen next. Okay. So it's a new feeling. That's all right. Mm-hmm. Don't go back to default. Don't go back to default. Stay here. If you're like, I don't know how to be present. Good. It's notice that. I don't know what, I'm new at this. I don't know what to do about it. Okay. Love yourself there. Mm-hmm. I'm a newbie in being present. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. You got to start somewhere.
No, because then you can have compassion for it. Because the reality is that none of us have it completely figured out. We're all newbies in some particular area. I'm a newbie at not putting a ton of shit on my plate and saying, oh, I can handle it all because I'm superwoman. Like, that's a new area for me to be like, actually, you know what? Probably shouldn't overcommit yourself.
Yeah. You called me on that this week whenever I was, you know, you and I are working on a project on right. like banging it away. Yep. And you were like, hey, more importantly, have you slept? Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, that.
Right. Yeah. Because it can be that simple of like, how do you get called back into yourself? And also that comes back to this place of self-honoring. It's almost like this is where you draw your bath, right? When you're out in the world and you're like, okay, I can't figure these things out. I'm taking action, but I don't know where the fuck the action's leading me to. I don't know what I'm supposed to like be doing on any of these things, but I'm trusting that I'm supposed to be doing something. So I'm going to show up and I'm going to participate. When you can come back into that place of self-compassion, it's like you're drawing yourself a bath of like, okay, I'm maybe new at this and I may have no idea if it's going to succeed or if it's going to fail. And also, good job for showing up.
That's right. That's right. I was sitting with a question that we needed answered today. And I was thinking to whoever's listening, energy's bigger than us. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, in order for us to make this decision, you're going to have to tell me the specifics about what's going on. And I could feel the energy go, do I?
Mm-hmm.
You sure? You sure you can't just be where you are and make a decision and see what happens?
Mm-hmm.
To which I have resistance. Like, that's not what I said. I said, you're going to have to.
Mm-hmm.
The energy's bigger than us. Don't care about what we dictate about how they're going to show up because they're wiser than us. And so you kind of have to go, all right, if the answer is, I'm not telling you right now, you need to deal with what's in front of you and keep walking, then you have to go, okay. Okay.
Yeah, that ego check.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just another example of how we're not going to force anything right now. It's just not going to be forced.
And we just had a full moon in Pisces that sat us down and said, hey, before you start moving,
right?
Because Mars is going to go direct the next day. Before you start moving, we're going to have one more talk. You're going to trust life, right? You're going to trust life from here on out, right? And hopefully a lot of us said, yeah, got it. I'm going to trust life. And now here we are, just a few days later, having a hard time trusting life.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have to maintain that. We're going to have to maintain, don't know what's going to happen in 10 minutes. I know what's going to happen in the next 30 seconds.
Right.
And staying there.
I think for me then, it becomes even more important of like, okay, so if we are staying in 30-second increments or 10-second increments, how do we show up in that manner? And like, I mean, last night I talked to you and I was having a hellacious day. And I was like, I can't do anything more. Like I have to stop. I have to go draw a bath and I need to tuck myself into bed because that's me living in this 30 seconds is of like, if I put another thing on my plate, then I could very easily spin out of control and be like, I'm going to go forcing things and superwoman mentality and then get really worked up and anxious and not really be present or in my sovereignty, which is always the request of how do we come back into our sovereignty?
Yeah. How do you come back into your sovereignty? And I think that involves, and I feel like I sound like a broken record, but I feel like that involves trusting life.
Mm-hmm.
You come back into your sovereignty, you check in with yourself and go, I'm okay right now. I'm okay right now. And I trust where I am. And we're going to keep walking forward. And I'm good. I'm good no matter what. As we walk into a rapidly changing time, a time of evolution and liberation, we're going to have to keep coming back to ourselves and go, I'm okay no matter what. I'm okay no matter what. Even if I'm about to make this decision and it's the wrong one, then I will come back and pivot and I'll be fine. Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah. That trusting piece. And I think we've talked about this in other podcasts, you know, that there's not necessarily a right decision or a wrong decision. Like that I'm out in California for my PhD program. And it's like my residential conference. So I'm here to learn lots of things about mind-body medicine. And I'm also very like aware of like, I don't know that this decision is what I choose to create in my life long-term. I don't know if it's going to pan. I don't know if I'm going to walk away at the end of 4 years of the PhD. I don't know that answer. I don't know that leaving a relationship is going to get me what I want to get in life. I don't know that jumping a new job is going to be the answer to like my financial stresses or my burnout at work. I don't know those answers. But that piece about like being willing, one, to check it out, to choose it, to take action around it. And two, to have your own fucking back relentlessly of like, okay, worst case scenario is it doesn't work out. I've got more student loans to pay off. Okay, Worst case scenario, it doesn't work out that I leave a job that I don't like. Guess what? I can find a new one. Worst case scenario is that I leave a partner that was really good for me and I have to come back with my tail in between my legs and beg for forgiveness. Like, worst case scenario is you still get to come back to you and honor you in your entirety.
That's right. It's that pivot part is hard.
It's hard.
Like, coming back to relationships that you mm-hmm. killed something that had a chance to live, like, oh shit, shouldn't have done that. Okay. Yep. And trying to find how that there was a lesson in there, that it probably happened exactly how it should. There's something that was learned within that.
Right.
Right. Like I've been thinking a lot about my corporate job because I was there for so long. I was there for 18 years and it took a toll on me, including a toll on the years I've been alive. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I had a lot of regret about that. Like, I probably should have called it a lot sooner, but then I keep coming back to, yeah, but you have a skill set now that you would not have otherwise. You are able to run a business on your own without going, oh, mm-hmm. I don't know anything. No, I know lots of things. I know when to say, do this now.
Right.
Do this right now. I can make calls. I can make long-term decisions. I can hold a vision. I can stand my ground in ways that I would not have had I not gone through that ringer.
Right. But it's so difficult when you're going through it. You know, I mean, I did the same thing in working for the government. There were so many times where I'd sit there and be like, what the fuck is the purpose of this shit? Like, why am I in this? Like, why would I do this? I really would. And I'd be like, I'm not going to get anything out of this. Like, no. And then now I look back and I'm like, no, you have a bunch of skills. Or, you know, like, say you do come back with your tail between your legs and have to recount to a relationship that you ended before you let it grow. Okay, now there's vulnerability of, oh, I'm sorry, I misjudged that. I need to be very vulnerable. There's a lesson in that of, like, I need to expose myself. There's a lesson in leaving a job that you find unfulfilling and wondering, is this really the best idea? Should I do this? I mean, I hemmed and hawed for years on whether or not I was going to leave the government. And then I did. And then now I'm like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. There was definitely lessons on both sides of that, but it mm-hmm. required me to take a lot of vulnerability. And it really required immense amounts of me constantly convincing myself that I was going to be okay.
That piece about relationships, can we talk about that?
Because yeah.
I'm noticing that a lot of people have experienced endings in relationships during the eclipses and the retrogrades.
Yes.
Venus is in Libra now. It's going to go into Scorpio in September and it will retrograde. Everyone will be reevaluating their relationships and how they enter into them. And I'm seeing a lot of broken hearts and regrets already. What do you do with that? I mean, part of me thinks that separations, even when they come back together, aid in teaching us sovereignty,
mm-hmm.
how to hold our own energy, how to be independent, how to make decisions for our own lives and for ourselves without being like, if I'm not with that person, I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you're without that person, without that relationship, without the title of being married or whatever, if you don't have that, you're going to die, you got a problem. You got a problem. We have to be able, I think, to stand up and breathe and grow and come and go as the relationship develops over time or dissipates over time and be okay with that. That you've got yourself. You're married to yourself.
Yeah, I think a relationship, just like individuals, are their own living self structures, right? They ebb and flow just like the ocean coming in and going out, that we all have our own independent needs at any point in time. And I think that a lot of what I've been witnessing about with relationships ending in that heartbreak is more around the places where we've chosen or been taught or are playing out records of patterns that are codependent. And I'm just gonna just make a blanket statement that we've all learned codependent tendencies. Like, that's not just for one particular subset of people, that we're all codependent on other people in the sense that it makes us comfortable when we have people around us, right? and we'll do things to keep them around us because we want to be loved. We all want to be loved. But that can also come at the token of like us forgetting our own sovereignty. And so when we exit relationships, that is a really good place to be like, okay, this is how I'm drawing the boundary for my own sovereignty, or I'm being forced to put a boundary in, and now I have to honor myself. And I think there's a constant unfolding there that looks at how are we dependent upon others for our own self-worth, because that's really where we are being asked to be dependent upon ourselves to create our own sacredness.
Right. And I think, well, you tell me if this is what you're talking about. I think that boils down to equating need with love.
Mm-hmm.
Like the more you need me, the more I'm loved, or the more I need you, the more you know I love you. And that equating need with love, it's not love. Equating need with love is manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
Like it gets too sticky. Like with sometimes whenever I say to someone, whenever they've gone through a breakup or they're in a lull or they went out of a relationship, and I talk to them about how they're meant for sacred union. And I describe to them about how this person's going to say, I don't need you. The look on people's faces, they're like, oh, what? I'm like, do you recognize that reaction?
Mm-hmm.
If someone says, I don't need you, you didn't even wait for the rest of the sentence. I don't need you, but I want to be with you.
Right.
Not being needed triggers people hard, real hard.
It does. I'm seeing it twofold. So personal sharing. I did this weekend, and I think it's relevant. I was in the car with my partner who will forever hear me be like, I don't need you. Forever hear me say that. But then I realized that like I was getting really worked up, and I was getting upset with him about something so minuscule that I can't even recollect what it was. But I was like turning my energy about him doing this thing, right? And all of a sudden I had that awareness of like, oh, I'm needing him. I'm desiring him to be different than what he is. And I am saying, this is the problem with you, because I don't want to look at the fact that I have codependent tendencies that I'm projecting on him to make me feel more secure. So I was like lashing out at him and making it about, oh, he needs to be different. He should be responding differently, rather than tuning that into me of like, oh, but actually this is just because I am feeling a little burnt out, and I don't know how to say I'm burnt out. So I'm making a projection upon him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's difficult to hold your own space when you're tightly intertwined with someone else, to still hold your own space. I still feel like people think this is crazy, but the way that I see relationships, and I'm not in one, so I can't guarantee it to work, okay, is that I think that it's important to wake up every day and look at your partner and go, yep, still want to be here. Because if you look up one day and go, I feel like I'm in prison, you should be able to say, I have my own space. I have my own independence. I don't have to be here.
Right.
I can take care of myself. Like being intertwined with someone to the point where you feel like you can't leave or you're going down, that's a problem. That's a real problem. That's how we get locked in to cages. That's how we lose our self-worth. That's how we lose our ability to stand up and make decisions for ourselves. You don't have to do anything. Let's be mindful. Okay. One of the things that's probably going to break down in with Pluto and Jupiter and Saturn coming up in Capricorn is the institution of marriage.
Yep.
The institution of it. I'm not saying that commitments won't happen anymore. That's not what I'm saying. People get freaked out when I say the institution of marriage is going down. Like we can't commit anymore, and now polyamory is going to run all over the place. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we remain independent people who continuously choose to be here because we keep treating this as sacred. But if someone starts to not treat this as sacred, if somebody starts to use you or pull on you or drag you down, or you look up and you're like, I don't know, every time I look at you, I feel depressed. You have the freedom to go, I don't think this is working for us anymore. We're not growing anymore. This isn't healthy anymore. This feels like poison. you should be able to go on with your life without anybody dying.
Mm-hmm. And I would beg to say that that piece about relationships changing in terms of marriage is also changing in terms of all relationships, business relationships, relationships with your work, relationships with where you live. If you are looking around and be like, this does not contribute to me, but yeah, I'm in it and I've committed to myself to it being in it. And I, because this is the long haul and I have to be here, I'm needed. Like that's what we are being pushed in a lot of ways of analyzing at this point in time to see like, okay, but can you stand up and still have your back? Is that really true? You really need to stay in something you feel depressed in? You really got to do that, huh?
Yeah, loyalty to a fault. Mm-hmm. I did that in that job. I for years I would not even consider leaving because of how much I was needed. If I went, if I left, everything would fall apart. I bet it didn't. I bet they're still in business.
Mm-hmm.
I bet they're still there. I could have maintained my own self-respect and care for myself years ago. Probably it happened exactly as it should. Okay, I don't want to discount that, but I learned a lesson about loyalty to a fault and about being needed to the point where I sacrificed myself to where, I mean, it stripped me all the way down.
Right.
We don't love through martyrdom anymore.
Thank God.
I know. I mean, that's not what love looks like.
No.
Love has people exalted. Love heals. Love builds new worlds. Love makes you stronger. If it's something that's tearing you down, that's not what love does. That's not the function of love. That's not what it does. That's not how it behaves.
Right. And it doesn't even just mean in partnerships with your intimate other, like the love of the work that you do, does it exalt you? Does it bring you alive? Do you walk away being like, hell yes, I am changing the world. Hell yes, I'm using my gifts. Like that's the kind of love that's required in the world right now. You know, and you may not know how to get there. That's perfectly fine. But are you willing to stand up and take any sort of action? Are you willing to lean into it? Are you willing to feel your way? Are you willing to hold the intention? I was listening to a book today that was about changing DNA sequencing and how there was a study that was conducted that were people holding on to emotions, right? And so they were holding a vial of DNA strands and they were holding, they were like experiencing a happy feeling. So they had watched a good movie, you know, and they were feeling like, oh, lovey-dovey. And then they tested the DNA strands and they're like, does anything change here? And there was no significant results, right? So that got thrown out the way. So then they had another group hold the DNA strands in the vial and use an intention of like, oh, I want this DNA strand to uncoil, to unbind itself, right? Unbind or rebind, bind stronger. No statistical evidence of it doing either of them. However, when the third group held the emotional memory of this is how it feels, like I am in love, I'm expansive, I am held, I'm radiating, while pairing it with the intention of the thought of like, I want this to unravel, I want to unbind, the statistical analysis of it was 25% proving that they messed with the DNA strands. They unraveled the DNA strands by 25% just by holding the emotional and the intention, the mind of like, it's not just a matter of like experiencing this emotion of, oh, I think this is what it would feel like to be free and to do things in my work that feels like love. You also have to mentally train yourself to hold that space and hold that note and be very clear with yourself of like, okay, I don't know where this is going, but if I did, what would it feel like? Would it feel like being needed and pulled on? Or would it feel like being loved and exalted and sovereign? Which is it?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I've been hitting on that a lot in readings lately, is you don't know what this is going to look like. If I'm telling you that a relationship that you have never seen before is coming, it could be with your current partner. It could be somebody else. It doesn't matter. Hold on to how you want to feel.
Mm-hmm.
How do you want to feel? And then let reality morph into what matches that. Right. How do you want to feel? I want to feel free. I want to feel independent. I want to feel abundant. I want to feel like I'm exalted. I want to feel like I'm sovereign, but also paired up. Whatever. How do you want to feel? And then let reality morph into that. So important. It's so important. I mean, it's, you know, you know this in being a practitioner, sometimes people want us to tell them exactly what's going to happen. I can't tell you that. Mm-hmm. I can tell you thematically what's coming, but I don't know how it's going to show up. I don't know. I can tell you what the energy is bringing in, and you have to think about how you want to feel and let reality show up how it's going to, how it wants to.
Yeah, and being willing to not only feel it, but also to speak it into truth. You know, the power of speaking what we want to feel, what we want to create, what we want to actualize is so equally important, because we can change our cell structures with the thoughts that we think. And what do you think we can do with the words that we speak? It's so important to not only allow yourself to experience that emotional sensation, but also to get clear on the words that you would use to manifest that I am exalted. I am sovereign.
And then you have to trust life to show up how it wants to. This is trusting life to match that. And if you go, you know, I want to feel healed and empowered and at peace within my relationship, and it only has to be with this one person, forget it. No. Because that relationship might need to fall apart, mm-hmm. or that person might need to find themselves before they can match you in that way. You have to be okay with how reality morphs. Some things have to fall apart. You might have to leave that job. And it's, we get caught up in have to's, mm-hmm. right? Even about like work kind of stuff, people get caught up in, understandably, okay, I'm not criticizing, get caught up in, I can't leave this job because I've got bills to pay, right? Like thinking that the only way they can pay their bills is through suffering. That's not true. That's mm-hmm. not true. I mean, you and I are evidence of it, mm-hmm. because we refuse. Okay, I got my bills paid, but it's killing me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to die. I don't want to die because of my job. Are you kidding?
Right, right.
Finding a new way. People are going to have to find a new way in their lives, in some area of your life, you're going to have to find a new way. And then you're going to have to walk into it, not knowing how it's all going to spin out. And so you've got to hold on to how you want to feel.
Yeah.
And let life cooperate with you.
Thank you for listening into the Be the Evidence podcast with Susan and I. We are really grateful that you are here, that you're showing up, that you're willing to be seen, and that you're exploring these conversations. Thank you. If you're curious at all about the offerings and the readings that Susan and I do, I would really urge you to go to our websites. There you will find a lot more information about who we are and the services that we have. Susan can be found at susangrace.org, and I can be found at aubreycara.co. For all of our listeners of the podcast, we have set up a Patreon page specific to you guys. There you will find services that are not available to anyone else. And you can find us on patreon.com/be the evidence podcast. When you're there, there are two different options for you to have access to a guided meditation and or a reading with Susan and I both. If you ever have any questions or comments or feelings that you would love to share or stories about how the podcast is resonating with you, we would love to hear them. Please feel free to reach out to us at betheevidencepodcast@gmail.com. And in the meantime, please know we are deeply grateful for all the ways that you are showing up. We see you, we hear you, we feel you. Thank you. Welcome to Be the Evidence podcast with Susan Grace and Aubrey Mass.